The Borough Assembly to order for the November 3rd, 2025 meeting. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Here.
Member Martin?
Here.
Member Mucci?
Here.
Member Schwartz?
Here.
Member Stanton Gregor?
Here.
Member Valentine?
Here.
We have six members present, and we will fill the vacant seat at today's meeting. With that, I have one change I want to make into the agenda. I want to, all the action items will remain the same. Everything's going to be there, except I'm going to change the order of the agenda. I'm going to take the action item that we had on item two, appointment to the vacant assembly seat, and action item three, oath of office. And I'm going to move that after item 10, which is persons to be heard on related to the agenda. That way, we'll give a chance for the anybody who wants to testify about one of these candidates can do it. And the second item is I ask the clerk to call the candidates, and it'll give them also a chance to talk before a decision is made. And with that, I'll move on to item four, the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very spirited.
Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. We have minutes of the regular assembly meeting of October 20th of 2025. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded, and I'll do a vote. Is there any changes? Okay. Hearing none. Anybody, all in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. And opposed? None. So those minutes are approved as stand. Do we have any amendments to the agenda or approval of the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we approve today's agenda as is.
Second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as it stands. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, with that, there are no public hearings today. We have one bid award, and that bid award is the Banana Point Breakwater Improvements. Is the intent to award, and the Public Works Director Morrell request approval to award the Banana Point Breakwater Improvement Project to Western Dock and Bridge of Ketchikan in the amount of not to exceed $978,000. A memo from Director Morrell with the bidder information for the September 26, 2025 bid opening is attached to the meeting packet. Do I have a motion to approve this award?
So moved. So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Okay, hearing none. Before I call for a vote, I would like to thank, so the $78,000 we needed was given to us by PIA. And I can tell you that we would have probably lost that $900,000 had it not been for PIA's $78,000. It made a huge difference, or is making a huge difference. And with that, would the clerk please call roll?
Member Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. With that, it's approved by all the members. Next item on the agenda is persons to be heard related to the agenda. Is there anybody who would like to have items or talk about items related to the agenda? And looks like I have a full house here, so I'm going to limit it to 3 minutes. And I think former Mayor Jensen would like to talk.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Mark Jensen. I'm here representing myself. I'd like to speak to the appointment of the replacement for Bob Lynn's vacant seat. I'm glad the agenda got switched around a little bit so the public had time to comment. I would suggest that the assembly vote to appoint Donna Marsh to this position. And the reasoning is because she had the third highest votes running for assembly. And I know other people that ran for these positions or have put their name, you know, their interest in. But I think Donna Marsh should be voted in because she had 80 or 90 more votes than the next highest vote getter. So that way you're representing the public's interest or how they voted at the election. So it only makes sense to me. And when I was mayor a few years back, I tried to get this changed, this situation changed. So you know, you mirrored what Juneau did, which is different than taking the next highest vote getter. But if you were a seated assembly member with time left on your term and you ran for mayor and you know, you had to step down before the election. So that's how Juneau does it. But you know, whatever Petersburg decides to do, that's what we decide to do. So thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else would like to talk about items related to today's agenda? Okay, seeing none. I would like to now to move to each of the candidates. I think most of the candidates, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't hear you, Bill. I haven't got unrelated. I'm still on the agenda for items related today. Okay, related to the agenda, we'll give the opportunity for all the candidates who have put in applications for the vacant seat to talk. If anybody would like to go forward, please do so at this time. Okay, Scott.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment. My name is Scott Newman. I'm representing myself. I would like to express my interest in being considered for the open assembly seat. Although I was not successful in my recent campaign for mayor, I remain deeply committed to serving our community and continuing to contribute to the good work already being done by the assembly. Over the last 3 years, I have had the opportunity to work closely with the assembly, staff, and many members of the public on a variety of issues that affect Petersburg. I value the collaboration, thoughtful discussion, and respect that characterize our local government, and I believe I could be a constructive, balanced voice to the table. My motivation for seeking this seat is simple. I care deeply about this community and want to continue contributing to its long-term health, growth, and sustainability. I would be honored to serve and to help carry forward the shared goals that make Petersburg such a strong and vibrant place to live. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Raleigh?
Hi, I'm Raleigh Cook, and I'm here representing myself. I put in this letter of interest to serve on the council, but I also have the same feeling that ex-Mayor Jensen had, that someone's already been elected to that position. I do, however, wish to serve this community in any way possible. I believe also that Donna Marsh should probably be put in this position. However, that is up to you guys. I will, at some point, serve this community in a position, one of these positions, at some point. I will continue. I have been greatly dismayed at the attacks brought upon my family and my wife by this city on Facebook. It deeply dismays me that people would spread lies and continue to spread lies. About me, I have skin like a rhinoceros. I don't care too much, but my wife does not. And for people to continue to spread lies about my wife deeply disturbs me, especially in a town this small. At any rate, I would still greatly appreciate the chance to serve this city. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Donna Marsh is on Zoom. If you could unmute her. And
yes.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Donna, if you can hear us.
Thank you. My name's Donna Marsh. I am representing myself. I appreciate the consideration by the body of the assembly regarding my interest in filling this open seat. It has been a privilege and an honor to serve this community as an assembly member for 3 years, and I would be honored to have another opportunity for another year. While I don't share the majority opinion, I believe, of the assembly as presently constituted, I firmly believe working together, we can get a lot of things done regardless of our viewpoints. And we have many tough issues looming in town, whether it's economic, whether it's housing related, whether it's how we're going to generate new jobs, more jobs. I think working together, we can accomplish a lot. My third place finish in the recent election, where I came in third, with the third highest vote getter, I would also urge consideration that it might be considered as a voice of the public to put me in that spot. But I thank you for your consideration.
Okay. Thank you. I think we have Mr. Vincent, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Vincent, representing myself. I'm just here to speak about my, I submitted a letter of intent. My letter is as stands. There's no changes I'd like to make to that. But I just wanted to openly say that obviously I work for the hospital. And so I have insight into the ongoings of the hospital. I have other insights that I think are not so obvious and that I'd like to bring to the forefront. I did own and operate a minor league football team in Southern California. I became the president of the whole West Coast for our region, for all of the leagues. And there was a lot involved in that, budget decisions, policy, you name it. I ran my organization as a drug deterrent, gang deterrent program. Football was just a front, if you will. During that time, I was there for 10 years. During that time, on the time I left after my tenure, the crime rate had gone down in our town 33%. And I wasn't responsible for all 33% because that's a lot. I worked in conjunction with our local police department who had programs that they ran as well. We did a lot of good for the community, but I say even if I was responsible for even 1%, it was a town of 180,000 people. And so I feel like I made a significant impact still. We also worked with the police department. We donated to the Children of Fallen Officers. We donated to a battered women's shelter. We donated to plenty of organizations throughout our community. Now that I'm in Petersburg, I'm trying to be very involved in this community as well. I don't know how many people know, but I am the commander for the American Legion for the Petersburg Post 14, and there's 300 veterans on the island. Since I've been involved with the Legion here in Petersburg, our enrollment has gone up 486%. We got an award from the state, highest percentage enrollment in the nation. And so I feel like I do make a heavy impact. I have made an impression on people, and it's all for the positive, and we've done a lot through that organization for this community. We've donated to HIP, to Feed the Hungry. We've created the Paul Anderson Scholarship Award, which is given 2 years in a row. In this recent year, there was a tie. We give a test to the seniors at the high school, and there was a tie, so we ended up giving two scholarships. We're not going to pick one, so we just gave out two. And we've done several other things, helmets for kids for the ATVs in conjunction with the hospital. We put new flags up the cemetery. We fixed the gazebo. We've done several things since we've been here. And I'd just like another opportunity to be a part of and represent my community. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I think we have, we had Ms. Kerr, I don't think, wants one to talk, do you? No, she's shaking her head, so we'll let it go there. And when we, the other candidate, the one we called, Mark Taylor, As busy, he couldn't do that. But I definitely thank all the candidates for, you know, stepping up and wanting to be part of it. And with that, is there any other things related to items on the agenda? Okay. Okay, go ahead, Darren.
My name is John Mergus. I am representing myself, resident here 55 years. I'd like to thank Assemblymember Mucci for his suggestion for a work session concerning the communications towers, for considering the substantial impact of the entire community for generations to come. I think that deserves much more discussion. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, I'll move on to items unrelated to today's agenda. Would anybody like to talk about it? And I think Mr. Shermley is anxious here. He wants to talk about it.
I got the clock for you. Bill Tremblay, I live at 9.6 mile Midcoff Highway, representing myself. First, I'll apologize for not getting quite the gist of your change in the agenda. About a week or so ago, I was driving at Singley Alley heading to the bookstore. And before I got there, somebody shot out of Chief John Lott Street on a bicycle wearing a green helmet, fortunately, in such a manner that I had to stop as this person just blew through the intersection. I was wondering about if they missed something or did I miss something? And lo and behold, I found out that there is no traffic sign up at that intersection. So this person legally blew through, but could have caused a catastrophic situation with that accident that could have occurred. My suggestion is to refer this to your public safety committee with a suggestion of putting up some type of traffic sign, a yield or a stop sign. If you recognize that we have crosswalks on both sides of the street on Singley Alley, we have visitors that are coming through the year that use both sides of the street, many of them heading to the restaurant on that street as to other places. It's a blind corner for a lot of people, having to step around the pole that's on the intersection there. And I think it's a hazard. Like I said, I almost nailed this person on the bicycle as they came through legally because there's no stop sign or yield sign there. So that's my point of order that I'd hope the city would address. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to items unrelated to the agenda? Okay.
I have a handout here.
Yeah, would state your name and who you represent, please.
And I represent all people who are looking for safety from cell phone towers. And I have this handout for you fellows to look at. And I have handouts here that you can all look at if you want a copy of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it'll take too long. But I think it's imperative that we look seriously at the effects that these towers have on wildlife. I talked to Chris Cropley. I asked him, I said, what effect will a 5G tower have on me? He said, nothing. I said, nothing? And he said, confirm that. But the whole thing is a 5G tower is just a tower. But when you add the different antennas to it, that's when the danger comes. And that's my major concern. It's the one thing I will say, let me see, for the audience, to please go look at the website ehtrust.org and read the article titled Revealing 5G Cell Tower Health Impacts, 7 case studies. And then go to the Facebook page, Alaska for Safe Tech, for more information. And I guess I give these to her over there when this is over.
Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items unrelated to the agenda?
Hi, I'm Judy Omer, and again, speaking to, we're still here about the towers, and I'm grateful that it sounds like there's going to be a work committee or a work session coming up. I, too, put together a handout that I can give rather than read to everyone there. There's been talk about ordinances in Petersburg, and I just look at what do we even know anymore in this world of what to prepare for? And I don't know that any of us thought we were going to be looking at 150-foot towers in neighborhoods and unreported through government things, risks for it. And I looked at, well, what if they were putting a nuclear waste dump in the middle of Papke's Landing? Or what if they had an open sewage pond that they wanted next to the high school? Or what if they want to put fentanyl in our drinking water? And those sound like absurd things, but it's like, what do we need to prepare for? And it looks like now we're in a scramble to prepare for these towers that are going in and really surprising people by them. I didn't know until, 2.5 weeks ago or something that one was planned, or I would have taken action a lot earlier in trying to educate people about what some of the dangers are, the documented dangers. And so anyway, I have a thing to pass out. We did put together a Facebook page called Alaska for Safe Tech, and we're posting a lot of information on there and a way of communicating, like there's an assembly meeting at noon on Monday and things like that, as well as articles about the safety or the risks and what's going on in some of the other communities in Alaska that are equally surprised. So there's that we can do, but it just seems like when there's scientific uncertainty and a potential for harm, that we need to take precautionary and measured ways of deciding whether we just let this thing happen because there's money and there's people putting them up, and sometimes money is no object when there's a $50 million grant supporting this and what are supposed to be for unserved areas of tribal lands, Tlingit Haida. And so I think we need to really stop and look, and I'm grateful that there's going to be a work session coming up where we can share more information. In the meantime, I can pass these forward. If anyone here has wanted to sign a page just talking about concerns, doesn't commit you to anything but a concern. We've been passing around papers, and if anybody here wants to sign, I have papers that they can put their name on as well. We've got 160 now, and we're just getting going. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Should I put them over here? Or?
Yes, please give it to the clerk. Is there anybody else who would like to talk about items unrelated to the agenda?
Hi, I'm Micah Klein. I'm speaking for myself. I live out at 12 Mile. I also am concerned about these towers. I think there's very few ways to kind of block them from going in at this point, but there's even less ways to stop what goes on than once they're assembled. And I honestly think, and I'm speaking only for myself, the most effective way to give the citizens of our community more say in how these this technology comes into Petersburg and this infrastructure is put in is by zoning and ordinance. And I know that's going to sound really unpopular and scary, especially when you get out past the city limits. But I live out there, and I would like to see this work session happen and way more public awareness that this is happening, because everyone that I've spoken to is very surprised that this is already happening, that it's not just like an idea in the works, it's actually happening. There's property purchase, there's building materials, there's permitting processes starting. And I think that legally one of the few routes we have to have more say as a community in when and how this happens and its effects is zoning and ordinance. And so I'd like to see that be something talked about at this work session. It doesn't have to be something super heavy and restrictive or anything, but I think that's probably, in my opinion, one of the most straightforward ways to make this cell tower and communication roll out something that citizens have more impact on how that's done. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk about items? Yeah, please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Mr. Mayor, member of the Borough Assembly, my name is Jerry Merrigan, and I have been a Petersburg resident since 78, and I have owned and lived out on property out the road since 1990 in the vicinity of 12 Mile as well. The lots in that area originated from a DNR land lottery that preceded the Alaska Mental Health Land Trust settlement. So we are completely surrounded by mental health land behind us and the water in front of us. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of myself, and there's a handout that you'll get later, I guess, so I wasn't going to read it, but I'd like to encourage the Assembly to begin the process of looking at possible extension of a limited number of services to South Mitkoff, that is outside of Service Area 1. I have lived out there for 35 years, and like most people, I would like everything to stay the same, more or less, not change, but that's not what's happening. Incremental change is inevitable, but recently things have been happening in leaps and bounds. I think we've reached a tipping point, and there are the two proposed actions that is the Alaska Mental Health Land Trust subdivision, 101 lots at the outgo, there'll be more, and the proposed tidal work towers. I would request the Borough Assembly direct the Borough Manager and staff prepare a paper exploring options, just exploring for extension of limited number of services to address issues arising from these actions and future projects. Most of the issues I've identified in the handout, but they're identified more with like the lack of road standards, that's more with the mental health subdivision and road maintenance, and a lack of planning and zoning. And this should include, the paper should make a best estimate as to the effectiveness of these options and address issue as to what the cost might be for the borough and how will we pay it? Would it be an incremental mill rate or something to address these things? In order to consider extension of services, cost is a key concern for all parties. And I believe the mill rate should be proportional to services received. And in this request, I am no means trying to limit the Assembly, borough manager, or staff from considering any other options and ideas, but minimally I hope the elements outlined in the handout would be considered. Taking no action is going to have future costs. It would seem reasonable to try to get ahead of these issues to the extent practicable rather than rather be stuck in reactive mode. What do we do now? No one likes to pay more taxes if you ask them, but if this paper could at least estimate what some service might do, how it would help, and what it might cost, I think that'd go a long way to people making a reasonable decision. The mental health, for people who aren't aware, there's a proposed subdivision that stretches from Papke's to the Forest Service boundary, includes 101 lots ranging from 1.3 acres to 30 acres, so a lot of these are going to get subdivided even after they sell. Most of the lots are in the 5 to 10 acre range. This subdivision is mostly muskeg lots in a largely unroaded area that lacks most utilities as well as no planning and zoning. There are currently no road standards in the proposed subdivision. This is not a shovel-ready subdivision that's going to help with the housing project. This is going to be a big thing, and it's just going to, I don't know how it's going to work. But the proposed tower in the Papke's residential area seems to me inconsistent with the current land use in that immediate area. It's going to be adjacent to multiple residential properties. However, because of the lack of planning and zoning the process, this makes a poorly sited project a possibility. In the handout I have, I've listed four things. One is two wouldn't require a service area. One is extension of platting authority, and the other is extension of planning and zoning. I'm not sure what the platting authority will do to the current subdivision, but it would affect further subdividing of those parcels for sure. And you might possibly put road standards in there. Planning and zoning, I'm envisioning more of a very rough rural process of here's what you're allowed to do, here's things that, okay, you might be, but you got to go to planning and zoning. At least it would give people a forum to talk about it before it's down the road. And then there's things that you might agree that couldn't be done, but it's just, a very rough rural residential area or something, a very loose thing, but at least have a checkpoint where people could go and speak to planning and zoning before having immediately come here. The other would be like forming a service area, and what I'm looking at is not, you know, going to be a lot of road maintenance. Be, all the roads out there are gravel, with the exception of the highway, which is DOT and Papke's Road, that and plowing. And the other one would be extension of emergency medical ambulance service. Right now, you call 911. It's a hit or miss thing. You get Ketchikan. So anyway, it's those looking at forming a service area. All this stuff's going to take a while. Is down the road, but I think we do have to start somewhere. If you're lived when I lived in a, you know, more rural area, people were planning and zoning. The concern was a rock pit or logging. Now it's a. Wasn't that worried living in a muskeg area from either of those, but now we've got big antennas, giant subdivisions, and I don't know what's next. What's going to come next? A detention center? A data center? We don't know. It's things we never thought about. But more development is going to happen, and so please help us do it wisely and with some forethought. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else related for items unrelated to the agenda? Okay, seeing and hearing none, I'm going to move on then back to item 2 on the agenda, which was the appointment to the vacant assembly seat. With that, the mayor can't make a motion, but I'm going to move to appoint Scott Newman to the vacant assembly seat. I can't make a motion, but if all the assembly, any assembly member can do that or choose somebody else.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we appoint Scott Newman to serve a one-year term until ending in October 2026.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to take this opportunity, even though the motion is on the floor, to potentially appoint Member Newman. We'll either vote that down and move on to someone else or appoint Scott. I want to thank all 6 people who put their name in for appointment. It is a big risk going down the line. Tina Kerr didn't need to speak today, but I appreciate you putting your name in. You're a public figure. To put yourself out there takes a lot of guts. Tony Vinson, you came in today. I think, and to be clear, I think there's a compelling reason for any of these candidates for us to vote for them. You know, your work with the American Legion and your volunteer history is exemplary. Raleigh Cook, independent businessman, spoke a lot about the need for developing resources in our borough. That's compelling to me. I don't know Mark Taylor, but I know I've heard, I know he works for Trident, younger guy with a family, try to be involved in public service. It's the real deal. It's important. Donna Marsh sat with us over the last 3 years on the assembly. Anyone who listened to meetings know Donna did her research. That's it. Those are legitimate things. And with all 6 people, only one can be appointed. I put my name in to be on the assembly about 11 years ago, and I was not appointed. So whichever people are not appointed, try not to take it personally. It's hard for all of us up there, especially in the face of so many qualified candidates. You know, the Mayor Jensen spoke to Donna Marsh being the 3rd highest vote getter. That's the thing. I can't argue that logic. We don't have precedent for that, but that I don't discount his point. I'll speak for myself now that I've covered the bases on the other applicants of why I'm voting for Scott Newman. I worked with Scott over the last 2+ years. We agreed on some issues and we disagreed on plenty more. One thing I respected a great deal about him was his ability to want to grow in the role and learn new things. And I liked how we disagreed. We disagreed on plenty of issues, and I found when we did, I generally learned something which helped me grow as a person, as an assembly member, and I think he's a prudent choice for us to appoint once again. Thank you.
Is there any other assembly members? Member Schwartz.
Well, I'll echo Jay's respect and admiration for those people that put their name in the hat. It's admirable. I think everybody that did has a legitimate concern for our community and are actively involved in improving our community. Scott and I grew up together. and I've got nothing but respect for him, business owner, raised his family here. I'll be voting no on this because I agree with Mark. And I agree with Raleigh and the 25 or 30 other people that talked to me about this. Had that seat been opened up, we wouldn't even be here to make this decision. Donna would be in. But because it went the way that it did, and that's the process, here we are. So, love you, Scott, but I'll be voting no on this one, and my support is for Donna because the citizens of Petersburg voted her in. And when I looked at the charter, it goes the citizens of Petersburg and then the borough assembly, and that's how the power in this government is supposed to be. So that's my two bits.
Okay, thank you. Member Valentine?
This is more of a question because I'm new, kind of more new to this, but we are appointing Scott up, but then we have, do we have an opportunity to also appoint another person as well by tabling this? Or is this just Scott currently what we're voting on, right? Because that's why I seconded to make a discussion out of that.
We have, Scott is the person that has been nominated, and yes, that's the one we will be voting on.
So we could not nominate right now another person until this is finished.
That's correct. You have, if there is not four votes for Mr. Newman, then there will be another nomination.
May I, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, you may.
The motion will be either approved or denied for to seat Member Newman. If it is approved, obviously he's seated. Okay. And that's why I use that platform to kind of address all the candidates. But then if it is denied, then it's back to the drawing board and somebody can make a motion for someone else on the list.
But Scott isn't necessarily out of the race, but just for this motion here, right?
Someone could bring it, technically someone could bring that back up to make another motion.
Okay.
We've done this a couple of times where it's gone round and round, right, where we can't get consensus and then, mm-hmm. So technically you're correct.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
The reason I bring this up because I think that all these candidates, and up here with everybody here, yeah, I respect that you guys want to serve your community, but it's, as y'all probably know and feel, it's hard for us to just be the one to vote right in front of you guys. So I wanted to make a motion more to have us be able to rank vote and then have the clerk be able to count those up so that we can all vote ourselves. But I missed that part, so I apologize.
We may add to that is that under Alaska statutes, this has to be done in open session. You don't rank the candidates. It has to be done in open session. Member Schwartz?
Yeah, I wrestled with this too. It was a difference of, according to what I got from the city, 18 votes. And if the shoe's on the other foot, I still have to vote for the person who got the most votes, the third. And at some point in time, you know, this is an interesting job. It's one of the most interesting jobs I've ever had, and I've had quite a few. We've got to represent the people at some point in time. And so if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd need to vote for that third person. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Martin? Member Martin?
I would have preferred some sort of a nomination process and a ballot and a runoff, but this will work. But my main problem is that I think our best mayoral candidates are going to come from the assembly. And the method we have now, rather than stepping down to run, I'd rather you could keep your seat and run, because I feel like the mayor should probably be chosen from the assembly members. And this current system discourages that. And that being said, Donna does have a strong case with all those votes, but it wasn't an apples-to-apples race. She didn't run against Scott. So Scott had a tsunami of charisma against him running against Bob Lynn. So I'm going to be voting for Scott.
Is anybody else? Any other assembly members? No, seeing none. I had a hard time with this one also. I'm still... both people have done served this borough very, very well, in my opinion. It takes a lot of time, and I will say that the both of them spent considerable amount of time, you know, preparing for the meetings. And also, I would say that through that, the mayoral candidate forum, there was a number of issues that came forward, in my opinion, that I will carry forward at some point in time. We can't do it all at once. And I think that the views that were expressed, even though, let's say, we don't select some of the individuals, we're going to come back, you know, onto the table here sometime in the future. At least I intend to bring some of them back. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Nope.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin? Yes. Member Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes to put Scott Newman into that seat, the other vacant assembly seat. And with that, Scott, would you come forward to take the oath of office, please?
Okay, thank you, Scott. Please
hold just a second for everybody to get.
Okay, we're going to wait for just a minute while everyone takes a seat. Thank you, Manager Giesbrecht. Okay, you ready? All right. Scott Newman, do you solemnly affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska and the ordinances of the Petersburg Borough, and that you will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of assembly member for the Petersburg Borough, Alaska, to the best of your ability?
I do.
Thank you. Could you sign right here?
Okay, you have the end seat there, Mr. Newman. I'm going to move on now to the next part of the agenda. There are today no board, commission, and committee reports. There's nothing on the consent agenda, and so I'll move to report of other officers. And the first person on there is the Petersburg CEO, Mr. Hoffman Hofstetter.
Hi, good afternoon. Phil Hofstetter, Petersburg Medical Center CEO. I submitted my written report. As indicated, you know, not much to update from even the previous month. A lot of things still in motion, particularly with the healthcare transformation bill. I reported out at the PMC Live last week and also at the board meeting. It's the state's application for the healthcare transformation bill is due in 2 days, so November 5th. They have a draft online. I will keep you posted. This has direct impacts to funding related to healthcare in relative to the medical center. So certainly we'll keep you apprised as that comes through. My understanding is the RFIs that were submitted in August from the various hospitals in the state were all reviewed and all submitted as part of the application. So that is in some ways good news. I'm still waiting for infrastructure and capital because there are some restrictions around that with the federal side. So we will see what's pending with that. So, and secondly, the work building, as I mentioned previously, we are still waiting on the state for a certificate of need. It is a little bit of back and forth process for the MRI. So it is ready to go. We are just waiting on the state to give us that stamp of approval. I'll keep you posted on that as well. And lastly, just with the new assembly members, just keeping in the back of your mind, the work session for the PMC and or annual work session with PMC and the assembly, probably sometime in January, I'm thinking would be good, and looking at how we can structure the next phase, and also we'll have information more in the healthcare transformation bill, providing good information to the assembly through those means. That's all I got for today.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hofstetter? Okay, I would just add one thing to Phil and I had a chance to talk with the House member from Ketchikan in House District 1 last week related to the transformation bill. And I thought it was an excellent conversation. He has some of the same questions that Mr. Hofstetter has about equitable distribution of those funds throughout Alaska and effective use of those funds. And he promised to do some follow-up for us on some questions that Mr. Hofstetter asked. And so I thought it was a very good session that we had. And I just had that, unless, Phil, you have anything else to add to what I said?
Yeah, no, also it was good. It's nice to see some alignment with representatives and also support around that. And the biggest thing is not to have the bill get mired in politics within the state. And so the association, hospital association, the hospitals, health and social services for the state and the legislative, we all want to be aligned. It's not going to be perfect, but we want to all be behind it so that we can spend properly the funding that gets allocated under the regs that are provided through the state and through CMS, which is Center for Medicaid and Medicaid, Medicare and Medicaid, to make sure we're following those parameters. We do not want to lose the opportunity. The funding spend is 18 months per year. That's a lot for a state the size of Alaska, so we want to make sure that we spend properly and don't lose the opportunity of healthcare transformation, as the bill indicates. So, okay, thank you.
We have a report from, I think, the Forest Service. Carrie, I think you've got the report here.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a short report for me today. We are in a shutdown, I think, as everybody knows. But I am at the office, so I did want to say, folks, if they're wanting a designated hunter permit, I am there and I am issuing those. So I have had the opportunity to connect with people, but I have my number on the door. So if I don't see you come to the door, give me a call or a text and I'll come meet you or set up a time to make sure that we get those subsistence permits issued. And secondly, the Thomas Bay timber sale contract was awarded. And so we should start seeing some activity over in Thomas Bay related to that contract in the spring. And that's it for me, unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Ranger Case?
Yes. How big is that timber sale? How many board feet?
This offering is 4.3 million. Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, last on the agenda is Peterborough School District, Robin Taylor.
All right, well, good afternoon. I'm Robin Taylor, the superintendent for the Petersburg School District. Just a few updates. Construction continues to move along. We are hopeful that we're down to the last 2 weeks, but I do know the contractor was still waiting on soffitting, and that's been 18 or 19 weeks out from that order, so there are delays in shipping, but we are making really, really good headway. I do want to do a shout out to our Viking swim team. They were just down at regionals, and all of our swimmers qualified for state. Logan Tao took first in two of those events, and he is ranked first in the 100 freestyle. So ranked first in the state. That's among all of our large schools, too, because our students do have to compete, not just with the smaller schools, but they are competing with the 4A very large schools. So a big shout out to him. And veterans, thank you for your service. We are once again hosting the Veterans Day Parade next Tuesday, November 11th at 9 o'clock a.m. So just as we did last year, we'll have folks line up in their cars by the Children's Center, and they will follow. I think Coast Guard is doing the leading the parade, but they'll follow along Dolphin Street. Students will be out, and the Colts of Valor will be staged right in front of the elementary school entrance. So do appreciate everybody who has served our country. And the final announcement is that we have our Fall Into Reading Literacy event also coming up next week on November 14th. There will be a pre-dinner for the elementary Title I families at the elementary school, and then they'll all shift over to the middle and high school, where it sounds like we have high school students who will be in character doing some reading. So this is part of our CLSD, the Comprehensive Literacy Statewide Development Grant that we have, as we're really trying to focus on literacy efforts for children from birth to grade 12. So happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions from the assembly? Good. Thank you for your time.